Psalm number 145. Tonight we are going to begin a short series of 5 or 6 weeks, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but that's what we're looking at. We're going to be looking at the Hallelujah Psalms. One might say, but preacher, it's the last 5, not last 6, that are the Hallelujah Psalms. That's exactly right. But I couldn't leave out Psalm 145. That will be our intro to the Hallelujah Psalms. And there's a lot in these. There really is. And so I see that you are there. To our online family, thank you all for joining us tonight. Appreciate it very, very much. God bless your hearts. We're just so glad that you get to join us. We're so thankful for this medium. For those who do not have a church they can attend, or ones who've already been to church and now they're coming to ours online. But thank you all for being with us. Brother Penn, come if you would please and read with us this wonderful little psalm, number 145.
All right, 21 verses in this psalm, and so we'll read responsively, starting all together on verse 1, and then every other verse down through the end of the chapter here tonight. So Psalm 145, verses 1 through 21. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. Again, thank you so much, Lord, for your precious word, how your words minister, Lord, to our hearts and give us strength, encourage us. Lord, meet with us now as we look into your wonderful word, and bless our preacher, fill him with your spirit as he shares that with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you for reading the Word of God with us out loud. It's always good to hear those words. I love it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I get to hear you all read it, and I thank you for that. The Hallelujah Psalms. You might say, but Psalm 146 or 145 is not a Hallelujah Psalm. You're absolutely right. But there's a lot in here, and I could not start a series on the Hallelujah Psalms without including Psalm 145. Did you know that there's no other psalm so entitled, David's Psalm of Praise? Oh, there's others that have a title, but none of them are titled like this. Not only is it a psalm of praise, in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, This is one of the greatest little facts, and that is simply the Psalm 145 is an acrostic. There's another one in the Bible that's an acrostic as well, Psalm 119. You see, this is an acrostic, of the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, except for one letter. Somebody asked me one time, that's why there's 21 verses instead of 22, because there's 22 verses in the Hebrew alphabet, or 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and this only has 21. That's right. You say, well, why isn't the N in there, the one that's called none? It's because God didn't want to include it. That's why. It wasn't ever left out. And the truth of the matter is, if you want to say where it could be put, it would actually be put between verses 13 and 14. That's where the N would go. But there is no N in this one. So Psalm 145 is also the last of the Psalms that have a title. More than likely, this Psalm was written, probably as a memorial or some great event in David's life. And so we don't know all the history of all the Psalms, but we do know the history of some of them, and that's really a great blessing. You see, when the Lord does great things for us, think about that. When the Lord does great things for us, we should be more than willing to lift up His great name and praise Him for what He has done and what He is doing. And do that. God does so many things all around us every single day. We don't praise God nearly enough. I think the charismatic crowd possibly has ruined Baptists and turned them into silent worshipers, because we don't shout anymore. We don't say amen. We don't say praise the Lord. We don't say hallelujah like we used to. And the truth of the matter is, this is something we ought to be doing every day. It's even found in this great psalm. And we ought to be more than willing to lift up that name to those around us. Praise is, or should be, a normal part of the child of God's daily life, praising the Lord. As I have taught you before about being a blessing to God, we learned that in order to bless God, we must be obedient to what God says in His Word. We find that phrase in the Psalms, bless the Lord, or bless. We hear the words today. People have misused the phrase bless God. I am so opposed to someone just saying, oh, bless God. That's taking God's name in vain, in my opinion. Because are they blessing God, or are they just filling space? Are they just saying a phrase? And I can't judge that, but I tell you, when I was in Bible college, that was a long time ago, I had a teacher and I had a preaching class, and I remember that the teacher of the class gave each of us so many minutes to be able to preach. I think it was 6 minutes is what he gave us. We had to pick a passage and stand up and preach that passage to the rest of the class. And a fella got up, and we had a time limit. We were supposed to quit in 6 minutes. That was what we were supposed to do. And this fella got up and he started preaching, if you want to call it that. Actually, he just started yelling. And he said, bless God, almost every other sentence. I'd had it up to here with what he was saying. And he went longer than 6 minutes. And we're looking at the teacher, and the teacher's just letting this guy go. Bless God this, bless God that, bless God this, bless God, bless God, bless God, over and over again. And when he sat down, the teacher stood in front of the class and said, you have just cursed God and used His name in vain for 12 minutes. And he taught a tremendous lesson that day, that if you're not going to say bless the Lord and bless God, don't say bless God to fill up empty space in preaching. That's a lot of what cursing is. Cursing is filling space in a sentence that doesn't need cursing in it, and all of that. Though a lot of people use very foul language today, and they use it. Where was I? I was at Bob's garage one day, talking to Brother Bob when he was here in Colorado Springs. And there's a teenage boy there that he had been ministering to. And we were looking under a hood, and he simply come off with an oath. And he looked at me, knowing that I was the pastor, and he said, oh, pardon my French. And I stopped him, and I said, that wasn't French. And I said, that was good old-fashioned English cussing, is what that was. And he did ask to be forgiven and all that, and I appreciated that. He realized that what he said was just filling space with curse words. Well, bless God is one of those phrases that many Christians use today, I think. In listening to them preach, they're not saying bless the Lord of what I'm saying. They're saying bless God just to fill up space. That's my opinion, and I'm going to stick with it. So what does the Lord have for us in this great psalm? Why am I using this as a precursor to the Hallelujah Psalms? Well, because it talks about, it's the only one that says that it's David's psalm of praise. Oh, other ones have titles, like if you were to look back at Psalm 144, it says a psalm of David. If you go to Psalm 143, it says a psalm of David. But the only one that says David's psalm of praise is this one. And there are no titles on the rest of the psalms, which are the hallelujah psalms. So, if you're going to take notes tonight, I'm going to give you some numbers to write down. Number one, what does the Lord have for us in this psalm? Number one, we ought to praise and bless God every day. And I mean that myself personally, and I mean it from what the psalm says. Look what it says in verses 1, 2, and 3. David's psalm of praise, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Now look at the next phrase. Every day. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Note what David's words were in verse number 2. Every day will I bless thee. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. One might say, well, I think I would run out of things to say to God. How in the world do you run out of things to say to God when he's done so much for us? You see, I think if you've said everything that you can in praise, or if you have exhausted your thoughts on God, or that you have done all that God has said and done for you, and that's it, think again. Verse 3 says this, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is what? Unsearchable. I remember hearing someone, we were talking one Sunday morning in Sunday school many years ago, and I was talking about, we were talking about forgiveness and asking for forgiveness and all that. And I remember one person raised their hand and simply said, well, what if you can't think of anything to confess? I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding. And I said, well, that's the first thing you ought to confess, is you can't think of anything to confess, meaning you're living a perfectly righteous life, which you are not, of all things. I did not say all that, but that's the truth. You see, if you have come to the place that you have nothing more to say about the Lord in praise, or if you seem to think that you have arrived as a Christian, you are just backslidden is what you are, and you need to get right with God. You cannot exhaust the greatness of God. You cannot exhaust the things that God has done. You cannot exhaust your praise to God. Many years ago, I love using this illustration. It's one from my life personally, but it was Thanksgiving time. And back behind my house in Indianapolis, I was home from college. And back behind my house is my yard and the fence, and then there's a field, and then there's the playground for the elementary school that used to be there. Now it's something else. And there's a big old huge oak tree that was sitting there. And I went over and sat under that oak tree on Thanksgiving morning. And I thought, I'll be home in just a few minutes. I'm going to spend some time thanking and praising God for his goodness. And I got to doing that. And this doesn't mean I'm a good Christian, but I tell you, I couldn't believe it. After 45 minutes, I had to quit because they were ready to eat. Come on in, Dan. Come on back out. Come back to the house. And I thought, you know, I felt like I had just gotten started. I had so many things to thank and praise the Lord for. And you know, it ought to be a habit in our lives. Maybe even for yourself, make a list of things that you can praise God for. And say, well, a list? Yeah, God loves lists. He really does. He's got a lot of things listed in the Bible. Make a list of everything you're thankful for. Add to it every day. And have a time where you bless the Lord every single day of your life in one way or another, whether it be in one sitting or two sittings or throughout the day, it does not matter. But David said, I'm going to bless the Lord every day. Every single day, I'm going to bless the Lord. All right, you might not be able to go 45 minutes and then because you'd have other things to do. You might be driving someplace. You don't close your eyes when you're driving, leastways you're not supposed to. You spend that time praying, or you can spend that time praising, and the guy in the car next to you is going to think you're nuts because he's watching you talk and nobody else in the car, and that's fine. Or you can find a place and get by yourself and the Lord and just talk to him and praise him and thank him and... What else could you come up with when you think about that? Well, there's a lot of things to thank God for. The first thing you can thank God for is just thank God for God. The fact that He's who He is and what He is. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the sweet Holy Spirit that indwells you. Thank God for your salvation that's eternal. Thank God for eternal salvation. Thank God that you don't believe you can lose your salvation. Thank God that you got a Bible. Thank God that you got a New Testament. Thank God that you've got some Bible verses memorized. Thank God you've learned some scripture songs. So many different things. And that's just a small spackling of things that you can start with. With a daily praise list. Make a list every day and spend some time just praising the Lord. Find a way. Just find a way to bless God every day. Do something that God says to do. I've said, how do you bless the Lord? You find out what He likes and do it. That's how you bless God. So find some things He wants you to do that day. It might be passing out tracts. It might be witnessing to a neighbor. It might be singing a song of praise. It might be obeying a speed limit law. It might be so many different things. Make a list of things to thank the Lord for. And you could even write a to-do list every single day. To-do. And just make the list. Say, well, is it wrong to read a list to God? Not even a little bit. What have we told you through the years? Make a prayer list. What did we go through tonight before we had our Bible study? A prayer list. What did you write down tonight? Prayer request. What are you going to do? You're going to read through those throughout the week. You're going to pray through those things. There's nothing wrong with the list. It's not going to get add to it every single day. So number one, and that's we ought to praise and bless God every single day. Number two, praise the Lord to children often. All of us have no children living at home. We have grandkids. We have our children living somewhere else. You know what children need to hear? They need to hear praising the Lord. Amen. That's what they need to hear. There's so many things kids need that they don't get today in the average home. They don't get Christian music. It's like I said when the sing group was here. And I talked about Ron Hamilton, what he said about the reason kids can't sing today is because there's no music in their homes. They don't sing together in their homes. They can't carry a tune in a bucket. They can't carry a tune with a bucket with a lid on it. Why? They've never learned to sing. They don't know how to harmonize. They don't know how to do all these different things, you see. You know, when I was a youth director in Minnesota, we had a big youth choir. I had about 75 teenagers in my youth choir. And, you know, interesting thing was, every time we get on a bus and go someplace, you know, they'd start singing in harmony. Just whatever it was, they would just be singing. It was a great blessing. When our very first church had to teach the kids how to sing, they didn't sing. And then when we were in Wyoming, a lot of the kids there sang and sang harmonies and all the rest of it. But they had homes where there was music, you see. Well, a child that grows up hearing God praised and thanked is going to be one who does that in his growing up years. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. He says, one generation shall praise thy works, to another. One generation will praise his works to another generation and shall declare thy mighty acts. I read a statistic a long time ago because somebody asked, where are all the converts that got saved during the Billy Sunday meetings? This was on Christian radio. I was listening to this. There's an incredible thing that they said. They said the ones who got saved in that generation did not share to the next generation. And I thought that was interesting. How many times have I said to my church family, make sure your family knows when you got saved. Share your testimony. So I share mine all the time. I share mine to the point that people are probably tired of hearing it. None of you. I know that you're not tired of hearing my testimony. You could parrot my testimony. I know you could because I say it so often. I love telling my testimony. I've got it written out on the computer. And sometimes somebody will write and say, when did you get saved? And I'll copy and paste and stick that in there and get all kinds of amens and praise the Lord's and all the rest of it. I love sharing my testimony I really honestly do. And when my children were growing up in the home, listen, every night that we had family altar at the table and we would read a portion of the Bible, and I told you that our goal was to read through the entire Bible by the time everybody graduated from high school, and we were able to do that. We used a Scofield Reference Bible. It's all broken up into paragraphs and chapters and things like that, and that's what we went by. Sometimes the reading was long, sometimes the reading was short, but there was always reading. But what we would do is every time somebody had a spiritual birthday, we would go around the table and everybody would share their testimony of when they got saved. Mine was February 16th, 1964. My wife's is in August of 1974. And we'd just go through the kids and one by one we'd share when we got saved. The next generation needs to hear the praise of God, the praising the Lord. They need to hear it. In times past, godly parents have reared children who knew very little about the mighty power of God. And today, that has changed some. There's even a passage in the Bible that says, they talked about the things they knew about God. They said, our fathers have told us. But the next generation didn't know anything about it. They didn't share it. Adults need to be more vocal about what the Lord does, for if nothing else, for the sake of the next generation. They need to hear that God answers prayer. They need to hear that the Lord hears and answers prayer. They need to know that God's name is, O thou that hearest prayer. They need to hear unto thee, O God. And they need to hear these things. They need to know that, you know, think about that. When was the last time God answered a specific prayer for you? Those are the things that the next generation needs to hear. And I don't mean, and people have done this, and I've heard them do it. People in our church don't, probably people have in the past, I don't know. But they'll say, oh, I need $10. And they'll go to 15 different people and say, would you pray that God will give me $15? Oh, I need $15 so bad. And then some poor fellow's going to reach in his pocket and pull out $15 and give it to him. And then he's going to say, God answered my prayer. I'm talking about going into your prayer closet alone with no one nearby and no one knows your prayer request, and you take it to the Lord who heareth thee in secret, who will then openly answer that prayer. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. You see, they need to hear that. I love to hear children testify, but if they should be learning to testify from the adults, not from their peers. And you know, when we would have testimony time, and it's not happened a whole lot in recent days, we've not had a lot of testimony times, just for probably obvious reasons. And people would say, I just want to thank the Lord that I got saved, and they give the date. Or they'll say, I'm glad that I got saved. And they don't know the date, but they know the general time. And they would share that. And do you remember when our teenagers would stand up and say, I would like to thank the Lord that I got saved at such and such time? They learned to share testimony. They learned to praise God. And they heard adults do it. I've had it up to my pastoral gills with Christians who say, well, my Christianity is a private thing. Well, no, it's not. It's not supposed to be. Your testimony, that's exactly what it's supposed to be, a testimony. Being willing to share God's greatness and God's goodness. And think about that. The next generation, they need to hear that. They need to hear that God answered your prayers. They need to hear that you praise the Lord. They need to hear those things, whether they're your children or your grandkids or whatever. It does not matter. They need to hear it. That's the way it's supposed to be. You see, you got to be careful not to make the things of the Lord a chore. Oh, I got to give a testimony. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to... No. Don't ever let those things happen. Not at all. And number three, if you're taking notes, praise the Lord to those who do not know Him. Praise the Lord to those who do not know Him. Psalm 145 in verse 1, it says, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and His glorious majesty of His kingdom. Sons of men is referring to mankind in general. It's not talking about God's precious children only. It's talking about people. You ever catch yourself praying in a restaurant and then somebody looks around to see if somebody's watching? It's really amazing. The unsaved need to see God's people being serious about God. And I don't mean walking down the street shouting glory hallelujah or something like that. And if you do shout glory hallelujah while you're walking down the street, you better have a reason to do it. Amen. But what I am saying is that the unsaved need to see God's people who are serious about the things of the Lord. The phrase sons of men, just mark it down. It's talking about mankind in general. And it's like Mark 16:15. I'm going to read that to you. You don't have to turn there, but it has the same thought. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does that mean you're supposed to preach to dogs? Cats? The Lord knows cats need it, but, you know, what can I say? Does that mean you're supposed to go out and you're supposed to preach to the birds and the trees? Does that mean you're supposed to be preaching to the bear that's about to walk into your house? Does that mean you go outside when the deer are in your yard like they are in mine all practically every day of the week and go out there and preach to them? Is that what it means? And glorify? No. Every creature is talking about mankind. You're supposed to do that to everybody. See, never be afraid and never be ashamed to speak up for the Lord. You see, that's so very, very important. Do you see how this psalm says here? It's a psalm, it's David's psalm of praise. He's giving the things that he does. He's not making it up. And yes, it's by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And yes, it's inspired of God and preserved by him and for us today. Yes, but it's also what David did. That's what you have to understand. And he did this. So when it says, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, it's talking about everybody, not just the saved, not just your church family, not just your saved family, your family members and things like that. It's talking about people in general. That's called a testimony while you're out in public, you see. Nothing wrong with that. Do you ever say to a stranger, if you ever get in a, like if you're at a restaurant, let's say you're at a restaurant, and you've got a waiter or a waitress that comes by. And do you ever say things like, well, thank the Lord. No, or God bless you. Or thank you so much for taking good care of me today. God bless you. See what I'm saying? Are they saved? We don't know. You can find out by asking them. But to all men. And then notice the next thing. It's going to be a rather lengthy passage to read, but we're almost done. You need to praise the Lord to the fallen. Praise the Lord to the fallen. You know, backsliders don't like to hear about God, but they need to hear about God. You see? Backsliders don't like, oh, no, I don't want you preaching at me. You don't have to preach. But look what it says here in verses 14 through 21. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. That's interesting. And raiseth up those that be bowed down. That's a testimony. It says, the eyes of all wait upon thee. And thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. How much good can a good word... I was almost doing how much wood could a woodchuck chuck when I read this verse. It says, how much good can a good word of encouragement do for someone who's falling? Did you know that God loves backsliders? Did you know that God hates backsliding? Sometimes we get those mixed up. I told you the story a long time ago. I visited someone in the hospital and there was a fella. In fact, it was the fellow that gave me, he's passed away now. He gave me the bookcases in my office, and he gave me a bunch of photo equipment, which I still have. And he was in the hospital, and I walked into the room to see him, and he looked at me and looked down, and he says, I guess you're here to tell me that God's put me on my back so I can look up to him. And I said, no. No, I'm not here to do that. I prayed with him, I talked with him, and I tried to encourage him, you see. You know, the truth of the matter is there's some people that need to stay away from hospital rooms. They need to stay away from visiting somebody that's hurting. Well, why did God put you on your back for? I don't know, and you neither do you. And they might not know either. And it's just sort of like, who hath sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, none of them. He said, his sickness is for the glory of God. You see, amazing. Most times, they just need to be reminded of what the Lord can do for them. Think about that. And everybody in this room knows a backslider. You know somebody that's away from the Lord. You know somebody that's not right with God. You know that. They probably don't need a sermon from any one of us. They probably need some encouragement about how good God is. Troubles and trials tend to bow us down, but the Lord has never gotten off of his throne. I don't even say that phrase anymore. I used to say it a lot. Well, the Lord's still on the throne. It's kind of like, duh. He never got off. Of course he's on his throne. He knows what he's doing. And you can offer encouragement to someone and bless the Lord and bless his holy name to those who need to be lifted up. And did you notice how it says that he raiseth up all that be bowed down? That's talking about being bowed down by the affairs of this life. Financial difficulties and health difficulties and mental difficulties and family problems and all the rest of it. Sometimes they just need to know that God's still there. You can remind them of that. I saw a t-shirt one time that said, life's tough, and then you die. That was not encouraging to read. Life is tough, and then you die. Well, life is tough. And we can be an encouragement to someone. And the truth is, this was David's psalm of praise. It is his declaration of what David intended to do. And he put in here to do these things. And there would be nothing wrong with telling the Lord what we intend to do. Now, Lord, you say, you shouldn't vow a vow if you're going to break it. Well, tell God what you want to do. Lord, I intend to read my Bible. I intend to be a witness. I intend to be a blessing. I intend to do these things that are right. I intend to encourage my family. I intend to tell the Lord those things. Let him help you, you see. And David was praising the Lord because the Lord had done some great things for him. So I ask you a question. What has the Lord done for you? This is the whole intent of this, because Lord willing, next Wednesday, we're going to start a little series on the last five Psalms, the Hallelujah Psalms. But think about this. What has the Lord done for you that you could shout hallelujah for? Well, this is what David did. It's divided into four little sections, and then I'm done. Number one, he said, praise God every day and bless God every day. Praise God every day and bless God every day. Number two, he said, tell children of the greatness of God. Let this generation tell that generation how good God is. Number three, tell the lost world about the Lord. That can be witnessing or just being a testimony wherever you go. And lastly, he said, tell those who have fallen away from the Lord about the goodness of God. God loves, listen, I've not preached this in years, but I'm going to refer to it right now. You know, Peter walked away from the Lord's will, didn't he? I mean, he just walked out. He's done. And he even denied that he knew Christ three times and denied his church family, the disciples. He denied all that. The Bible says his heart was broken and he wept bitterly when Jesus looked at him. Just amazing story and all that. Well, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he met a lot of the disciples, but he didn't meet Peter yet. And he says, now listen, you go tell the rest of the disciples that I'm alive. And he says, and by the way, go back and tell Peter. He didn't leave Peter out. Peter had denied him. Peter had quit the ministry. Peter had taken people with him. And he said, you go tell everybody I'm alive, but says, and don't forget to tell Peter. Don't forget the backslider. Don't forget the one whose heart is cold and the one who wept bitterly and the one who denied me. Don't forget him. And be sure to tell Peter. One of the most beautiful thoughts, I think, in all the Gospels is Jesus and how he treated that backslider by the name of Peter. So that's my Bible study for tonight. And I want to challenge all of us to praise and bless the Lord every single day.